Word. So, you're going to start the clock or? Okay. So, good morning again. This is part of a series. So, this is number four in a series. Had a couple of them November and December called Stay Out of the Ditches. And that was really about how dangerous, and we covered it pretty thoroughly, that how dangerous it is to be grace only, how deadly it is to get to the point where everything that happens is God's will. That's the extreme, right? And also how deadly it is to put it up on ourselves to try to move God. Neither one of those. So I'm a faith man and I move my God. Also deadly, also not scriptural. Neither one of those are. So we're staying in the middle of the road, right? It's a one-way road, remember? So, but we do need to have this balance. This is how God operates, and it's how he created you and I to operate. See, grace and faith are actually pretty simple. But because of our nature, our carnal nature, we sometimes try to make it hard. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today. So, you know, as Pastor was even referring to today, God has already provided by his grace, by his great love, by his mercy, by his kindness, by just who he is and who he created us to be, he's already provided everything we will ever need. The problem is, we're often taught this much of the gospel. The word gospel in the Greek literally means almost too good to be true. Nearly too good to be true. And the good news, it's great, the part that we often have, because, yes, we are forgiven. Yep. And, yes, we are going to heaven when we die. But the gospel is actually this big, bigger than I can get my arms out here. There's so much good news, so much grace, the grace of God, that we must look into. We must renew our minds to, renew our hearts to, renew our words to. It's how he created us to operate. We are designed to operate that way. So God's word works if we operate in it. Okay? Many people, let's go to Luke chapter 11, please. You know, this scripture is often taken to, it's used not in the way, these are the words of Jesus, by the way. They're read in red. If you have a red letter Bible. But there's, Jesus was making a contrast, not a comparison here. Okay? So he said, I'm going to get down here where I can see it. If I don't stick my toes over too far, right? And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves. So it's a need he had, right? And he's going to ask for this need. The loaves are for a friend of mine who has come to me and on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. Boy, it doesn't even fit on the screen there. I say to you, though, he will rise and give to him because he is his friend. Yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Now, first of all, he's not describing God. He's not even describing a close friend here. Because if you have a close friend, he's going to get up and give you what you need if you actually have a need, right? He's going to care. This is a contrast. He's saying, this is the way the world will treat you. You have to badger the world. You have to beg. You have to play the game. On and on and on. You have to try to earn something, be worthy of something, right? But then Jesus changes right here. This is where this is a contrast. That's the world. This is God. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. And it will be open to you. Oh, you will knock and it will be open to you, right? Right? For everyone, who does that not include? You do realize when Jesus went to the cross and died that horrible death, for the forgiveness of how many? Anyone, all. Anyone who ever lived and walked and breathed on this earth. Now, how many have believed that and received that? But it was done deal for everybody, right? So was your ticket to heaven, right? You guys that know me, my Jesus pill. I got my Jesus pill. I'm good now. I'm converted. I'm like, you don't want to hang around me much if conversion is your goal. For everyone who asks, receives. He's saying it again, right? He's repeating himself. This is important. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Who is he describing now? His Father. This is Jesus, who laid his deity down, walking around as a person, a human man, operating as a man and dwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. Right? This is, and he says, he's describing his Father now. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? I think I've outmaneuvered you. Yeah. If you then, being evil, because we're all, without God, we're all evil, right? If you then be, the good in us is the Spirit of God.
That's right.
Amen? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And when you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit. That's why you're forgiven. That's why you're already an eternal being, but that's why you're now an eternal being, born of God. You're alive to God now, right? And with the Holy Spirit came the fullness, the power, the glory, everything that God is and everything that he has. Not just a ticket to heaven, not just a Jesus pill, and not just forgiveness. I don't want to discount those things. That's the most powerful miracle there ever was. But that was a starting point into discipleship. Conversion is the starting point into discipleship, into walking it out with God in his word. For you and I, for all of us. And it's a process. None of us got there immediately. No one, all of us are in process. But let's press into the process. Right? So, Press in. God, by grace, has anticipated the needs of the entire human race. Overall and individually, every need you and I have, He fulfilled them completely and permanently. Done deal. That's the way God looks at it. When we were having some discussions earlier. When God looks at us, He sees our spirit indwelled by the Holy Spirit. He's not looking at our flesh. He's not looking at this body. He's looking at who He made us to be permanently and forever. We're designed to operate by the Spirit. See, He's already provided everything, right? But here's that's grace. That's the grace part. Right? And not everything that occurs in our lifetimes is the will of God. That's the will of God. The Word of God is the will of God. And we have to know what the will of God is. Amen? So, then, faith is not this thing I have to muster and go, oh, I got to build up my faith. And I got to make God move. God ain't moving.
Amen.
He's already moved. Moved. Total love. Total kindness. Total mercy. Grace covers everything. Everything. Everything you can imagine that is good and perfect. That's the will of God in His Word for you and I. And it doesn't start when we get to heaven. Yes, it gets better. It gets less hard to walk it out. But it's already here in you, born again, saint, child, bride of Christ. Right? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4, please. You know, therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest. Now, this is where we think we have to go down our lists of do's or don'ts with God, and that's what He's interested in. Now, we do that out of just walking out with our lives with Him. Right? Because we become, if we press into this and we walk as a disciple, we become who He already made us to be. We fulfill that we are already righteous. We are already holy. I can't make myself righteous. I can't make myself holy. Neither can you. But it's a done deal with God. Now, my spirit must take control of my mind and my emotions and my will and become the mind, emotions, will of my Father.
Yes.
Right? And that will affect my flesh, my body. I know, you know, you guys have gone through a few months of learning that you are a spirit who has a soul, a mind, emotions, and will, who lives in a body, right? And you know what? This body is going to be yours forever. You're not actually getting a new body. You're getting the one you have renewed and made perfect and indestructible. That's the body that's going to occur. But you can tap into that right now because Jesus at the cross, He provided that. We're going to talk about that a little bit. But first in Hebrews here, entering into His rest. We need to understand what this is. Let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. We can come short of entering into the rest of God. right? But it's obviously something he wants for us. For you and I to be at rest. So what is this talking about? That it's not talking about just, oh, well, okay, whatever happens, that's God, and I'm just going to, I have no responsibility with God. I have no, I don't need to even care. It's just all just going to happen, right? That's a deadly, deadly lie that is not scripture. Okay? Where are we at here? Okay. For indeed the gospel was preached. The gospel, again. The entirety of it. The whole good news of God. The complete and whole good news of God. Not this. This is the gospel. We've spent much of 2,000 years teaching this when that Bible has got this in it. I can't even make it big enough, okay? So, indeed, the good news was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not what? Profit them. So we can hear the word of God and it not profit us. Why isn't it profiting us? Because, comma, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So we have to hear it. And we have to mix it with faith. And again, let's not make the faith something that we have to, I have to do this, or God won't move in my life, or God won't provide what I need. Not the way faith works. Faith is much simpler than that. We make it hard. And you know what's so hard for us is we think we need to make it hard. Believing God's word is simply trusting him, simply responding to his word. But the hard thing that because it's our human nature, our carnal nature, is not to believe it. To overlook it. Oh, well, it's to focus on this, much of the good news, instead of this, much of the good news of God, what he's already provided. Thousands and thousands of scriptures give us the promises of God. Yes. You know, Pastor and I, we were in a Bible study a while back, and one of us, or both of us, we brought up, you know, let's talk about the promises of God. What are the promises of God? And somebody had a promise here, and somebody had a promise there, and maybe there was a third one. And we were flabbergasted that was it. Two or three promises of God. And we're looking at each other like, we can't even count them all. Amen. It would take us years to try to pick out all the promises of God that he has completely fulfilled, completely done, and completely put inside you and I as born-again spirits, as an eternal being, who he looks at us and he sees his glory, yes, his holiness, yes, his righteousness. Because yes, your spirit is perfect, is exactly like Jesus right now. Your mind, emotions, and will aren't. They're in process. And your flesh is in process, right? But who you really are to him is whole and complete. That, you know, we talked about the word saved, salvation. Because we have this much meaning on that word. It means whole and complete. Every time I see that word, yes, sozo. Or a derivative of sozo, the Greek. Whole and complete. The people, when the Bible was first written, they understood this. That God was bestowing everything we need. That was salvation. You with me? I know I'm saying some hard things today, but it's in love. And if I get to it, I'm going to show you that God, he's jealous about this. He's like, I want you to know who I am and what I have done for you so you can walk in it. This is true of all of us. None of us got here or even beginning to get here like that, like boom. It takes time. It takes effort. And the effort isn't to muster some faith, and it's not to get God to move and give me something. It's to believe him and trust him and walk with him. I have to abide in him. I'm not connected to the vine unless I abide with him in his word and stay in his presence, right? And begin to think like he thinks and emote like he emotes, emotions. And to have and to share his will, his word, like he wills for us. Making sense? Where was I? Next verse. For we who have believed do enter that rest. That's what it takes to enter the rest. But it's actually hard because unless we press in and we begin to do this, and this becomes our life. And Pastor Paul talked about what comes out of our mouth. You know, what's so important about us speaking God's word out of our mouth instead of some other word? Because we don't hear any other voice like we hear our own. If my voice, my words are saying to me God's words, God's will, who God is and what he put in me, if that's not coming out of my mouth, I'm hearing something else coming out of my mouth. And it's more powerful and it means more to me. It affects me eternally and now more than any other voice. Amen? Okay. This is part of entering into this rest. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath. Now God's not angry at you, but he's jealous of you. Right? They shall not enter my rest. Whose choice was that? It wasn't God's. See, that's the thing. It's our choice. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, done from the foundation of the world, and then everything in our new covenant was done at the cross. Done deal. Jesus, boom, took care of it. All protection, all healing, all provision, everything. It's all in the Bible. It's all in the Word of God. You know, we mentioned Healing University, just for instance. 60 hours. Upwards of 1,000 scriptures in context flat out say Jesus healed us at the cross. But until we immerse ourselves into that, nobody, unless you're really weak in the faith yet, can argue out of God having forgiven you or you going to heaven when you die. But until we get beyond this and into this, and now I know I'm protected. Now I know I'm healed. It's a done deal. I'm not trying to get healed. I'm not trying to get protected. I'm not trying to get my bills paid. It's done. To God, I just need to walk with him in it. That's what the Word of God says. Yeah. Not making this up. Where are we at? Verse 3. Okay, I better move a little faster here. Okay, next verse. For he has spoken in a certain place on the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. That was the original. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. See, God, he's concerned about entering his rest. Now, we have a different level of rest, even, after what Jesus did. Go ahead. We'll move some. Since, therefore, it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. See, the disobedience now, since Jesus fulfilled the curse. Right? I'm not struggling with my sin. That's a revelation. It is a big revelation when we're right here with the good news instead of here. Right? Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Go ahead. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today after such a long time as has been said, today if you will hear his voice, if you'll what? Hear his voice and not do, and what? Do not harden your hearts. See, this is where we're struggling. This is where we're struggling. Hardening our hearts to what God's word says about who he is and his good news, his mercy, his grace, his love toward us. That's the deal. If I get there, we're going to talk about humility. Actual humility is believing him and acting on it.
Come on.
That's humility. That's true biblical humility. Let's move on here. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterwards have spoken of another day. Let's keep moving here. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. There's a rest. Now the book of Hebrews is written to people who were under the law and got delivered from being under the law and came under the grace that Jesus fulfilled the law. The whole book of Hebrews is written to get to people quit living under the law and live in this power, this grace, this goodness of God. Because Jesus took care of it. Right? And that's the new rest, the new covenant rest. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Have you ceased from your works? We only have one work now. One thing to labor. Believe and receive from God. That's our whole work now. Because that one will take care of all the other little stumbles and stupids we do. It will. It will take care of it. If we're trying to be a carnal Christian, we ain't ever going to do it. It's always going to be a struggle. It's always going to fight, and it's a losing battle. Let's be the spirit that we are and be a spiritual Christian. Let us therefore be diligent. Ooh, good word, diligent. To enter that rest. See, this is the whole program. Diligent to enter the rest, which is really just knowing who God is, all his grace, all his goodness, all his love, all his mercy, all his kindness for you. Already placed in you, done deal. It is finished, Jesus said at the cross. Right? It's finished. So we have to be diligent to enter that rest by just believing him and receiving it. If we argue about his word, we are arguing with who? God, the one we were just worshiping this morning, right? Am I arguing with God? You can argue with me all day, I don't care. But don't argue with him. I do everything I know to do to quit arguing with God. Because that's humility. Right? Let us be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. See, that's the only disobedience left. Is arguing with God. Where are we at? Let us, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's his will. It will change you in every way. If you believe it. Me too. I'm in process. Are you in process? Piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. That's your body. Spirit, soul, and body. Right there. You are a spirit who has a soul. A mind that needs to be renewed. Emotions that need to be renewed. Will that needs to be renewed. In process. Your spirit before God is born again spirit. Completely done. Completely done. scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture says that. Where am I? And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All takes place internally. It all takes place, it's about God has a motive and we have a motive. Have we got the right thoughts and intents of the heart? Have we got together and do we have his? Which is really amazingly good.
Yes.
It's not a bad thing at all. Okay, next verse. And there is no creature or creation hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. He knows what's going on in here. Do I know what's going on in here? That's the real question, right? Have I submitted to him? Have I actually humbled myself to his word, to where I believe it, and there so much that I receive it? Next verse. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Now we're back to what's coming out of our mouths, right? Because this is a big part of it. Because again, if you're going to hear God's voice, his word, and if you get in a place where you hear his voice, but you will still never hear words like your own words. They're always going to be so impactful to you. I can't hear God's voice, agree with his word, and then have something else coming out of my mouth. Because now I'm at war with God every time I open my mouth. Or I'm one with God every time I open my mouth. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Again, like I said, he laid down his deity and he did all this walking around on the earth with us as a human. He said he only said what his father told him to say and only did what his father told him to do. You're designed that way too. Just like Jesus. He did that so we would know we can do it. It was an example. Right? But in all points, tempted as we are, yet without sin, we can walk that way too. We just got to quit having sin consciousness and have righteousness consciousness.
There you go.
Right? Okay, let's move on. Try not to do 8 sermons at once here, right? Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. See, this empowers you. If you know who God is and who you are, humility looks like boldness. True humility, true believing God, what he said about you and what he put in you and what he gave you, looks like boldness. Because you're one with God. You're not God, but you're one with God. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. That's his grace, mercy. You know, there is no grace that isn't mercy. Because we deserve hell and we deserve nothing. But we have a God who loves us so much. He had mercy on us and cleared the program. It's done. Thank God, praise you, thank you, glory to you, Father, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in help to help in time of need. The needs are met. The grace is there. Okay? I think that's where we were going there. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, please. Okay. I've got to read it here. I'm too tall or something. I don't know. And I'm not that tall. But the grace of God, I am what I am. Ooh. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Ha! This is Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthians. But he's got nothing we don't have. Right? He knew who he was. Do I know who I am? Do you know who you are? Really? It's pretty good when we start knowing who we are. And it's the grace of God that tells us what we are. And his grace toward me was not in vain. It's not if we could quit arguing with him. Right? That's what upsets him. His pleasure is for us to not argue with him, to walk in it, to know it, to live it, to be what God made me, I am. Right? But I labored, labored more abundantly. The only labor now is to know the grace of God and to believe it and walk it out to receive it. And sometimes that's immediate and sometimes that's a process. But that's the labor. That's what Apostle Paul was doing. That's what you and I should be doing. Laboring more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Actually, it's in me. It's in you now.
That's right.
I found the edge. Okay. Let's go to Hosea. This is one of my favorite verses. This is my foundation verse. Because, you know, when you read the word, he's talking to you.
Yes.
Right? God wants us to understand him. He wants us to know him. It's not some head knowledge. It's an interaction. Right? It's the abiding in the presence of God. It's his word is his greatest pleasure is know who I am. Know who you are. Know what I've done for you. Let's do this together. Quit fighting it. Quit accepting somebody else's words. Somebody else's ideas. Even doctrines of men, which is Christianity today, to a large part, not God's scriptural word. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It's a lack of knowing God that destroys us, that makes us poor, that makes us sick, that makes us unprotected, that makes us undelivered. I know this is tough, and you don't have to like me, but you got to like God who said this. Or do you believe, or are you with him? You know, sorry. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can't even get my arms out there that far. None of us should be ashamed of the total and complete good news, mercy and love and kindness of God. If I'm dwelling in this, why? Why am I ashamed of the whole package? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I also will reject you from being a priest for me because you have forgotten the law of your God and also will forget your children. Let's go on to Ephesians 2, please. That, because he's talking to people under the law there, but we even have more than they had. We don't have to fulfill the law. We just got to walk with him. But God, who is what? Rich in mercy because of his what? Great love with which he what? Loved us. That's our God. That's who he is. Next verse. Even when we were dead in trespasses. Right? And we're not dead in trespasses anymore if we're born again. We've even got past that just by believing, submitting, and believing and receiving something, right? That's how all his word works, all his will works. It's not a different formula for the rest of our lives. Made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been what? made whole and complete. Don't ever want to discount the power of that, because that's the greatest miracle you will ever have. But there's so many more miracles in that word saved, salvation. Because that's what the word means. And when you read the word, when you know that, the word becomes different to you. The whole word, the word of God opens up and becomes more than this. Okay? Let's go on. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, spiritually, we're in two places. We're in heaven at the right hand of God with Jesus. And we're right here. The fullness of the Holy Spirit of God is in your born-again spirit. All that power, raising from the dead power. And if that kind of power is in you, so is healing of all kind, every kind, all sickness, all infirmity. So is all provision that you need in your life. Right? You with me?
Amen.
Okay. I'm preaching better and I'm getting a response a little. Okay. Next. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. We picked this part for the next 2 months, right? It's like it started when you were born again. Eternal life is knowing the Father and his Son Jesus, whom he has sent, right? John 17:3. Next verse here. For by grace you have been made complete and whole. See, every time I see that word, I know what it means. So do you now, I pray, I hope. By grace you have been saved, made whole and complete. That's why the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues is so important. Because when you read this word, you need to know the mysteries of God. Not mysteries from you, but for you. Right? Through faith. Through what?
Faith.
And not mustering some kind of, just simply believing. Quit arguing with the Word of God. I love you. I've done plenty of arguing with the Word of God. Yeah, it didn't, all it got me was destruction. And that not of yourselves. That's not even of us. We didn't earn or muster any grace, and we didn't earn or muster any faith. It's all the gift of God. We're just supposed to walk in it, right? Where are we at? Ooh, man, I'm out. Okay, you know what? I'm going to go a little bit. I'm just going to give you an example. 1 Peter 2, chapter 2 and verse 2. Just this is an example of what I'm talking about. As newborn babes, born again, right? Desire the pure milk of the word, God's will, that you may grow thereby. See, we have to grow in this. And we don't stop there. The goal is not converted, not my ticket to heaven only, not my forgiveness only. Those had to occur so I can keep moving with him. Okay, next verse. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is
good,
gracious, that's grace, right? That's what that word means. Everything. Okay, next. Coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. We're precious to God. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. You are a spirit. You are a spiritual house a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. See, it's all right here. Communing with him, abiding in him, knowing him, not arguing with him, submitting to his word and knowing who he is and who I am, who you are. Right? Acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Next. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, that's Jesus, elect, precious, he's precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. That's not just shame because we've sinned. No shame, we have everything we will need, but until we open ourselves to this, we can't believe it. Next verse. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, not arguing with his word, that's the disobedience here, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. The offense is me arguing with God. That's the offense. That's the only offense. The others, everything else has been paid for. I'm laboring to rest now. They stumble being disobedient to the word. You see? There it is, right there. To which they were also appointed. Not disobedient to, I shall do this and I shall not do that. No, just not believing it. Right? We're appointed to believe it and receive it. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Into all this revelation, which is the revealed knowledge of who God is and who you are. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy. But we've now obtained mercy. All this grace, all this goodness, all this love of God. Okay, where am I at? 10. We're going to skip to verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. He's the example of how you and I operate with God, right? That you should follow his steps. He stepped out of life, so we'd know how to step out of life. God said this, Jesus said it. God did this, Jesus did it. In the flesh. Not as God. He laid down his deity to walk around with us.
Hallelujah.
And say, here's my example. Okay. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. To him, himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. We never argue with that one, right? Having died to sins, might live for righteousness. Sometimes we argue with that one a little bit, but it's true. He died to sins, and we can live for righteousness because that's who we are. And this last one we argue with all the time. By whose stripes you were healed. His wounds. That word stripes is wounds. By his wounds. His scourging. His nailed to the cross. Him stabbed. He did it with a purpose. A purpose. And that's just one verse. We got 60 hours of scripture that says the same thing.
Amen.
Done deal with God. And I'm just talking about healing as a for instance.
Yes.
There's so much more. Oh, Mark, where are we at? I'm going to skip to James chapter 4, please, Sherry. And we'll close this up. James chapter 4. Adulterers and adulteresses. Now Mark's talking about adultery. Uh-oh. We're not talking about carnal adultery here. We're talking about adultery against God, which is arguing with him and not believing him and not receiving from him, not abiding with him. That's spiritual adultery. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity? That's war with God. So if it's coming out of my mouth, if it's bouncing around in my mind or my heart, and it's not his word, I'm at war with God. Even a born-again Christian, I'm at war with God if I'm going to do that. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Next verse. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously. He's jealous, but he's jealous. I want you to know who I really am, how much I love you. What I've done for you, completely and wholly done for you. The whole gospel good news of Jesus Christ. And I want you to believe it. I want you to walk in it. Yes. Receive it. Next verse. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. You see, humility is about knowing the grace and believing the grace. Yes. Believing the word. That's true humility. So when I say this next verse, it's a humble thing. It looks bold, but it's humble. I submit to my God. I resist you, devil, and you will flee from me because my God has healed me. He has made me whole and complete. He's given me all the provision I need. He's complete. I am safe and protected. Are you with me? And I never forget verse 8, because it all comes from there. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Yes. This is that abiding, that walking in his presence, yes, which empowers us to do what Jesus did. Yep. As a human being who is not God, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. This is the problem. Double-minded. That, and yes, we're all in process. Father, we are in process, but we are submitting to you. We are giving ourselves to you wholly and completely, your word. Letting you work in us. Letting you, giving you the joy to walk out all the goodness and all the mercy and all the grace you've given us.
Thank you, Jesus.
We praise you and thank you for it.
Thank you, Jesus. 1 Peter 2:21, he had it there on the screen. I want you to catch this. For to this you were called. Is it on there? 1 Peter 2:21. 1 Peter 2:21. For this you were called. Many of us, well, what was I called to? What's my calling? What's my gifting? For this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. What part do we miss? For this you were called. He gave us an example. God sent Jesus, and Jesus came as a man, and he came fully as a man, fully born of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, and he walked it out. He wasn't made to do it. God didn't make him do anything. He led him. He told him. Jesus chose to obey. Jesus chose to hear his Father. He said in John 5:19, I don't do anything that I haven't heard the Father tell me to do. I don't say anything I haven't heard the Father say. I don't do anything I haven't seen the Father do. And that was our example, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. If you didn't catch, I'm telling you, you just laid out a launching pad. I'm going to jump off next week. We've kept you long enough. Stand with me. Go back, listen. Go back and hear. We were called by God. We are his children. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Do we know what that looks like? When do we walk in that royal priesthood? What are we waiting for? What is it we're waiting for? Isaac's going to learn that song. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. It comes right out of there. We'll learn it. We'll learn it Tuesday night in the name of Jesus. And then there's one other song that I was thinking I wanted to help you meditate on, because I know songs help people. So I believe it's called I Know Who I Am Because I Know Who You Are, or it's Made for More. Is that the name of the song? Made for More. I don't remember who the author is, but Google it. It can't be that hard to find. And the beginning of that song is I Know Who I Am Because I Know Who You Are. If you don't know who you am, it's because you don't know who he is. If you're trying to figure out, well, who am I? You got to know who he is so you'll know who you are. You belong to him. You're his child. See, I don't belong to Harold Sheets, even though he's my father. He's my earthly father. I'm not against him. He knows I love him. I know I love him. But I know who I am because I know who my heavenly father is. That's who I want to follow. But if we don't know who our heavenly father is, we won't know who we am. Does that make sense? How many of us, we look at ourselves and we go, well, you know, my dad always did this, or my mom always did this. Well, I kind of got this from my dad. I joke about my kids, why they're so cute. Because they got it from their dad. Because their dad doesn't have it anymore. Their mother still has it. You following me? Because I ain't talking. Listen, Christ lives in us. We are his kids. And we're to walk in his steps. Father, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for all that you've done in us this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you that that you live and abide in us. And we want to live and abide in you. We want your word to abide in us. So we thank you for stirring in us a hunger for your word. We thank you for opening our eyes, opening our ears. We thank you for revelation, truth made alive in us, Lord, because we declare you are our King, you are our God, and there is none like you. In Jesus' name, amen. So be it. Bless somebody, encourage.